RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Bit of ground to cover with Joe McKinnon on Talking Horses this morning. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Warren and listeners. I loved the interview there with Mick Bell about Jungle Edge. It was the most warming story on racetracks around Australia yesterday, wasn't it?
It was, and I think indicative of the way some families operate with younger kids. His boys were at home just playing with the computers, but Mick still wanted to get the guitar out and just try and do something to remind him of or lighten the mood a little bit, but he was forced to play solo last night.
Yeah, poor Mick. Yeah, it's a strange time we live in at the moment, isn't it? But he was happy enough, as he would be. Quite remarkable, this horse now rising at 10. Just loves wet tracks, but we shouldn't underestimate his ability, and I think he's got just cause to be campaigning now for that potential slot in the Everest. So certainly if they get a soft track in Sydney, which is a high potential over spring, you often get wet tracks there over that time of the year. So why not? I hope someone does give him some consideration.
Well, I'll be talking to Ray Thomas later and yourself, Joe, your people of influence in racing circles. You need to just start putting your Jungle Edge badge on and start mounting the campaign.
And from a racing promotions perspective, Mick's all over it. I've worked in PR for race clubs and major events, and I like his line about the fact that Jungle Edge is the people's horse and would be a great publicity angle for the Everest. I couldn't agree more. That's what he needs at the moment.
Yeah, and when you go back through his performances, you know, close up behind the likes of Red Zell, Russian Revolution, Tavachi and others, when he's been tested against the elite level, he's certainly performed well, and he seems to be the sort of horse that he almost thrives on better opposition, so to speak, that you can raise the bar with him, but because of his racing style and particularly on rain-affected ground, you just know that he's going to run well.
Yeah, he was travelling the winner a long way out too yesterday, wasn't he? Well, Jungle Edge, Warren, from a breeding perspective, is the best of four winners from as many to race out of the winning Carnegie mare Jungle Girl, which is a half-sister to the dam of the dual-listed stakes winner Brief Kiss, and a half-sister to the Sydney winner Jewel of Africa, the dam of the stakes placed at Picheline, herself the dam of the Group 1 Victoria Derby winner and Group 1 South Australian Derby winner Rebel Raider, as well as the talented Group 3 winner, Shamaline Warrior. So he's got a pretty handy pedigree behind him.
Yeah, and he wasn't the only impressive winner at Caulfield yesterday. There was a number of them, and when horses start putting picket fences together, they prick a little bit of interest, and then when they've got a few things against them, like a significant weight rise, etc., such as Mystery Shot had yesterday, and they win in such a dominant fashion, they're another horse that I suppose worth taking note of out of the meeting.
Yeah, Mystery Shot's win yesterday at Caulfield under 61.5 kilos was a super effort. He's now unbeaten in four starts and carries, of course, the Brad Spicer Thoroughbred's colours, and he's our guest this morning on Talking Horses. Morning, Brad.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Warren. How are we?
Good. Sounds like you've got a spring in your step, and why wouldn't you? This horse is really shaping as a great prospect.
Yeah, he is, Joe. It's really nice to have a bit of positivity in Melbourne at this stage, and the horse has definitely given us and the owners some nice things to cheer about, and I suppose he's only got 21 more wins to go to equal the record.
Well, take us back to yesterday, Brad, and your thoughts around the performance, and firstly, your expectations going into the race, given the impost he had.
Yeah, look, we expected a really nice run, but started to get worried when that rain came yesterday because all the reports through Shane Jackson, who does quite a bit of work on the horse, that he doesn't quite handle that 7-8 sort of range. And so I just put a word out to the owners, said, look, just be a bit careful today. You know, the track's just sort of deteriorating. So, you know, maybe it's not going to be his day. But, you know, even Mick Rodd sort of reiterated that after the race. He slipped coming around the turn. He said, I just had to grab hold of him again just to balance him up because he's not comfortable in that ground. He gets through it okay, but he's definitely going to be a better horse on top of the ground. So credit to Mick. He rode a perfect race, had it summed up pretty early. They got some nice sectionals, and he was able to really kick clear in the straight without hard riding. So he's a horse, obviously, he went up in weight. I think, you know, we just don't know what we've got at this stage, Joe. You know, obviously he's got a bright future, but how high is he going to get to? You know, probably his next couple of starts will tell us that.
Indeed. The backstory of this horse, he was purchased out of the New Zealand sales.
He was purchased by Hong Kong clients over there in New Zealand, and I struck up a pretty good relationship with Gary Carville, who bought the horse on behalf of him, and they just ran out of a bit of patience there towards last year, and were able to purchase the horse off the trial. So, luckily enough, we got him over here, got him down to Warrnambool with Lindsay, and Lindsay's done a fantastic job with the horse, just bringing him along nice and slow. He's never a trainer to rush horses, and even this preparation, he didn't really have a hard trial leading into his first up run, and we sort of treated that run at Ballarat like a trial. And the way Lindsay trains, they sort of get fit through racing, and you're sort of expecting the peak sort of third and fourth up, just with his sand style of training. And I expected a really good run yesterday, but that sort of blew us away.
There's a bit of irony there, isn't there, that he was originally purchased by Hong Kong-based connections, and now Hong Kong people are trying to rally to get the horse again.
Yeah, look, I suppose he fits the profile for a horse from up there, a horse on the way up. We have quite a few little offers coming in, nothing in writing last time round, but there's been quite a few phone calls last night, and I gather my final run hot this morning, Joe, with agents trying to secure him from up there. But you know what? They're a pretty stoic bunch of owners, and they're happy to race their horse. So we'll just have to see what plays out there.
Yeah. Well, no doubt those offers, especially based on his performance yesterday, will have gone up, and they will be significant in size. There's always the argument to sell or not to sell. For some people, many, in fact, horses like this could be a once in a lifetime, but so too could the potential windfall of selling it for big dollars to somewhere like Hong Kong. So it is a difficult decision, a nice position to be in, certainly. And your own experience with selling to Hong Kong has been mixed. You had your Derby winner, Extra Brute, eventually sold there, and unfortunately he met ill fate.
Obviously Extra Brute wasn't a great story and a horrible ending for the owners. But when you've got a horse that's sort of like Mystery Shot, you've got to sort of just tally up the risk versus reward. And that's something the owners have to really work out, And it's hard with him because we don't know his top level on what he's going to reach. So, is he going to be a horse for the spring and go on to be an all-star mile sort of horse next year? That's what we're thinking at the moment. So, I think it'd take a fairly big offer to wrestle the horse away from the owners, and hopefully for Lindsay's sake and my sake and Michael's sake, he stays here. But, we've got to listen to the majority of the group and work out what they want to do.
Yeah. Well, interesting times. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be intensely listening to your comments there and weighing up perhaps what they would do themselves. I think if I was lucky enough to own a horse like him, I'd probably roll the dice and keep him going and race him here in Australia. He looks destined for much bigger and better things. So overall at the moment, your business, Brad, we're going through very challenging times globally at the moment with COVID-19. How are you navigating through this as a racing syndicator?
Yeah, look, Joe, we probably made a bit of a move a couple of years back to sort of move more into the bloodstock side of things. So we've diversified buying mares and weanlings and doing some ready-to-run sort of work. So, probably the yearling side of it's not going to be a big focus going forward. We want to try and, sort of get more onto the away from the racetrack and breeding side of things. So it's very interesting to see what we're going to do over the next couple of years. We actually bought the half-sister to the Dam of Mystery Shot back in March with a couple of good clients and Glenn Boss. And so far, so good. We had Mystery Shot come out and go bang, bang, and the other half-sister that Kira Ma trains called Mystique Falcon come out at one at Sandown, and Kieran's really buoyant about her career as a three-year-old filly going forward because she's only two, and she could be a nice Oaks style of horse, in the autumn.
Mm. So it sounds like that's a bit of the key to the strategy of your business moving forward through this unusual time for people involved in racing and breeding, investing in good quality mares.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's pretty fortunate. We've got the inside information on quite a few of the racehorses coming through. So you can go and try and buy the half relations and try and just keep that one step ahead of the pack, I suppose. But as you know, you've got to try and predict 2 years in front of you when you're in the breeding and, you know, trying to take yearlings to the sale. So it can be a bit challenging, but I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
And strange for owners at the moment to not be able to be on track to witness their horses win like Mystery Shop.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, you probably celebrate down at one of your locals last night with a nice steak and a red, but we can't do that at the moment, Joe, as you know. So my night last night was HelloFresh cooking for the family. it's a little bit different, but you know what? We've just got to do what we're going to do, be very disciplined because we've got to stamp it out. But, yeah, it's a bit of a strange era. I haven't been to the racetrack, obviously, for 4 months. So our workload's quite a bit less as far as socialising and getting to the track with the owners. So you just got to make sure you're connected through, obviously, social media and your update platforms. I think that's very important just to keep that connection with all the owners and clients. So that's a really big push for us.
Mm. And in recent years, you've travelled extensively internationally to the major sales across the Northern Hemisphere, especially to try and source horses. Well, that's all come to a stop as well.
Yeah, it is. So the last 2 years, obviously, we've been up at Tattersall Sales buying some nice staying yearlings for down here in Australia, and really happy with what we've bought so far. And we're trying to plan this year. Obviously, we won't be able to get onto the complex, but I've got a couple of agents over there that will probably do the work. And instead of buying two colts this year, we might just bring it back to buying one. But I set out doing it for 3 years to see if it works. And so far, the first two horses we brought up there, a See the Stars colt and a See the Moon colt, have really impressed us. And Michael Rodd come down to Lindsay's Warrnambool base there about a month ago and rode both in trials. And they both won their trials. Unfortunately, just put up a bit chin sore and gone to the paddock. So, but they've got bright futures, both of those horses. So I think there's it's part of the future. You know, we see horses like Russian Camelot and 50 Stars, and that's proof in the pudding that you can buy these yearlings over there, bring them back and punch them into the Australian system and bring them through and gain success. And I think you'll see a lot more Australians doing that going forward.
What were those couple of horses you were referring to that performed well in the trials, just so we can note those down?
Horse by See the Moon, he's called Furamon. He's a German-bred horse. And another one's called Rudia. He's a See the Stars horse. Both really got nice futures. Obviously, they're turning four, and we haven't seen them yet, but next preparation, I think you'll see some handy horses.
Okay. Brad, lovely to talk with you this morning. Congratulations on all the success you're having with Mystery Shot at the moment, and wishing you all the best in all the deliberations to sell or not to sell. As you alluded to, that phone's going to be ringing hot from today and right through this week, I dare say, with the Hong Kong telephone number.
Thanks very much, Joe. Enjoy your morning. Cheers, Warren.
Brad Spicer there. Warren, interesting, isn't it, the position he and the rest of the owners of Mystery Shot find themselves in? A nice predicament all the same. What would you do?
Well, I suppose a bit of it depends on the level of involvement you've got and obviously the offer. When it's spread in terms of your ownership base, I suppose it's a matter of whether that amount becomes life-changing and the thrill of being able to race a horse with the potential of Mystery Shot is probably one of the reasons why the majority of people got involved. They didn't get involved with the view of thinking that they were necessarily going to trade and make a profit. So you do want to try and find a horse that can give you that thrill of racing. Obviously, it's different environment at the moment, not being able to get to the races. But when you're talking to Brad there, Joe, it was interesting because Brad and I had a very similar introduction to racing in our very early days, and Brad's quite a bit younger than me, but it was just small shares in horses that ended up being involved with Leon Corson's. Mine originally was with Bart Cummings before Leon went out on his own, and Leon and his family were so welcoming in wanting to encourage people to get involved in the industry. Ultimately, I think that's played a major role in both Brad and myself having careers in racing, albeit very different careers, but the I suppose the willingness to educate us about racing from Leon and his family, and ultimately Kevin and Troy were around at that time, and his wife Chris really probably ignited both Brad's and my passion for racing to take it to another level.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it, though? the way people get introduced to racing can sometimes determine a lifetime involvement. Well, looking across the border into New South Wales yesterday, and the win of a horse called North Pacific was very impressive at Rosehill yesterday, winning the Darley two-year-old handicap over 1,100 metres, Warren. This horse was the highest-priced lot sold at the 2019 English Premier Yearling Sales, knocked down for $800,000. Yesterday was his first start since finishing third behind the subsequent Golden Slipper winner, Farnham, in the Group 2 Silver Slipper at the same track and over the same distance back in February. That was his debut on that occasion, and he didn't have the best of luck. But he's a horse going places, there's no doubt about that. Trained by the Hawks camp, and of course, all the bloodstock carrying their colours, they've been significant investors in Australian racing over the past couple of years, and they've certainly put their money where their mouth is with this horse forking out $800,000 for him. He was the sales topper, and he's justified that investment. He was consigned, Warren, by Beamer Thoroughbreds on behalf of his breeder, David Gillies. He was a stunning yearling too. The fourth horse that led into the ring at the sales on this occasion, and it was the horse that they all wanted to be on. He's the fourth foal and first winner out of the unraced O'Reilly mare Up in Lights, a half-sister to the 13-time winner and Group 1 placed Spin Doctor out of the winning octagonal mare Love the Limelight, which is a half-sister to the very good racehorse and four-time Group 1 winner Metal Bender. Robert Ralston Bloodstock purchased Up in Lights Maurice Colt for $100,000 out of the Three Bridges draft at this year's English Melbourne Premier Yearling Sale. So how good potentially that colt going to be after we saw Maurice over the past couple of days get a run on the board and a win with a horse in Japan by the name of, what was it, Casanova. If you look up the replay of that horse, you go to the Twitter feed of Graham Paisley, Long Ball to No One, you'll see the win of Casanova. It was a super performance and has really put the writing on the wall for Maurice. Stallion that comes down to stand at Arrowfield.
No doubt, and Maurice being such a spectacular performer and a spectacular looking horse, he had the makings of a horse that was going to develop into a great stallion, Joe, you would think, and really looking forward to seeing his progeny develop. Such a majestic animal he was.
He was. They call him the Beast from the East. I had the privilege of actually seeing him parade at Arrowfield not long after he first arrived in Australia, and he's very aptly named. He's an absolutely amazing animal to look at.
John Moore's training career in Hong Kong, Joe, are about to come to a close due to the compulsory retirement, and what a legacy he will leave in terms of the performances that he's achieved as a trainer and the horses that have endeared themselves to the Hong Kong and the international racing public.
Yeah, it's the end of an era, isn't it, Warren? John Moore has been involved in Hong Kong racing since the 70s, back in the amateur days. Of course, his late father, George Moore, was a trainer and rider there as well. But John has done such amazing things in Hong Kong since he took out his own trainer's licence. He's had numerous top-class horses. The list is too long to even mention. And right up until the age of 70, he's been producing these high-class performers in Hong Kong. But due to the compulsory age of retirement of 70, John will have to hang up the binoculars this week. There's only two meetings left of the Hong Kong racing season today. They go around at Sha Tin, and on Wednesday night, he'll saddle his final runners at Happy Valley. He's currently sitting fourth on the premiership in Hong Kong with 56 winners, and he's been on fire of late, wanting to go out with a bang, no doubt, having trained eight winners in the past 10 race days in Hong Kong. And he's got six runners today, so I'd be following them closely. I think he's in for a big one.
And we're seeing Zach Burton obviously assert his authority there, notching up another premiership. Great to see an Australian doing what Zach's been able to do in Hong Kong in that environment. It's one of the greatest racing achievements, I think, to be able to go there into that environment as Zach has done, and take on the likes of Joe and others, and win multiple premierships. It's just been outstanding to see Zach ply his trade in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it certainly has. He's got the premiership well and truly wrapped up now, with Joe Moreira having been suspended and missing out on the opportunity to claw back that lead that Zach's had. It's been a great rivalry between the riders over the past couple of seasons in Hong Kong, which is great for racing. But back to John Moore. He'll, of course, return to Australia, not full-time. He'll continue his residence in Hong Kong. He's married now to a Chinese woman, and Hong Kong is very much home for John. But he is setting up a stable in Sydney with his brother Gary, and they'll train together. So it will be most interesting to see how they go in the coming years together in Australia. But so I think he's got some unfinished business here in Australia, John. Having never really been prominent in the major race winner circle as a trainer, this is now his opportunity to explore that.
Let's see how that training partnership evolves, and what a stellar career he has had in the training ranks in Hong Kong. Thanks again. Such a comprehensive wrap of so many issues this morning, Joe. Look forward to doing it all again next week.
Thanks, Warren.